what does that say that what Satan and the demons or what they think of us and what they can get away with tempting us, right, Doctor?
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And you know, interestingly, as you were just to segue, you know, since you're so obviously the sociopolitical is such a big aspect with your show, and because our sociopolitical milieu is obviously anti-Christic, but that taking the knee, you know, that desire to, you know, take a knee to political correctness, to compromise, just here, just this little thing, that's all you got to do, just go along. And what's happened, you know, we have been taking a knee for quite a while in this country, and I'll say, you know, for the last, 100 years. And what's happened, this is where we are today. And so we have to stop taking a knee and, you know, until Satan, you know, get behind me, Satan, and without any mincing any words.
Yeah, and I will just explain something that I learned yesterday, and I was telling Mitish Chur this, and she goes, you didn't know that? I'm like, well, I knew it, but I'd never heard it explained that way. When our priest said, when Satan was going, just take a knee, come on, just take a knee, that when that is gospel evidence, folks, that Satan does make deals with humans. When you hear, oh, he made a deal with the devil, we get that from the gospel yesterday, because that's what Satan was trying to do. He was trying to buy the adoration of the incarnate wisdom himself by showing him all the kingdoms of the world. So anyone that says that stuff's not real, the devil doesn't make deals. Oh, yes, he does. He tried to make one with Jesus, didn't he?
That's right. That's right, exactly right. And what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul?
Right, right. So I just wanted to point that out. That and it just I'd never linked the two before, but now there's some, because I've had people tell me there's nothing in the gospel about the devil making deals. Yeah, there is. There most certainly is. So all right, are we going to move on to vocation number three, which is sociopolitical?
No. So there's the third one is the family.
Okay. The family. I'm sorry.
Yes. So, you know, and it's now that was your wife, right? That was chiming in on the show just a little bit ago, right?
Yes. Yes. No one's supposed to know that. Pay no attention to that woman behind the curtain. Right. I am the great and powerful Oz.
All right. I see those strings on there. Okay. So yeah, she's right though. You know, I like, see, this is a beautiful thing about, see, so your wife, so she mentioned you're talking about that woman, politician. But you know, she was talking about the conservative running, and I'm going like, okay, here's Mike. He's promoting this, you know, Republican, you know, against obviously someone who's, you know, a lot farther off the deep end. But she points out, well, you know, I can't really get behind this woman either, because, and she was just basically not even, look at the way she dresses. She's immodest. And I thought that was a very, you know, that there's insightful. There's a feminine genius. And, you know, this is, so we're talking about gender. We're talking about family. And with women, there, you know, politics is, for women, is intrinsically immodest.
Now, first of all, Maggie O'Connell for the win. All the people in the chat room going like, oh, King D, she got you one. Well, yeah, okay, good. I'm glad she corrects me all the time. I need to be corrected from time to time, and I need womanly correction. But I agree with her. I also said last week after you left on Wednesday, or I think it was on Thursday's show, you weren't here to defend yourself, but I invoked you vainly. I said, I think Dr. Dilsaver would agree with me. The workplace... With the work ethic, the Protestant work ethic, if you will, that this capitalist system, this rotten system that we're all stuck in, it is not conducive to female success. Everything is stacked against them. Every instinct that they have to abandon to try and achieve success in this workplace. So don't do it. And I have women in the chat room, my dear beloved kind of godchild, who I sponsored at her confirmation, like Ashley going like, Mike, if I didn't have to work, I'd be staying at home with my children. If we could find a way to get out of this, I'd be home with homeschooling my kids. I think that that's a majority opinion, doctor.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's a, well, again, we've talked about that last week, and that's a quote by, with my quote, but it's a woman's place is in the home, not because she's not good enough for the world, but because she's too good for the world. And today, with the homeschooling and with homemaking, right? Remember, so you remember that degree or that home economics degree.
Right, right.
Well, today, think about it. Today we have, with technology, as much as it is a bane, it's also a boon, and the family can become more self-sufficient than ever. But I tell you, you're going to need a woman. That's no easy task for her to keep that self-sufficiency of the home. And she can do it now. There's so much with technology, from the sewing machines to the cooking appliances to the education online, what have you, but she can help make it more sufficient. But she, that's a handful. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't do it because, again, you know, women usually have the genius, the specific to femininity, is to multitask, to keep a lot of plates spinning, okay? So men aren't able to do that. We focus in on one thing, as the house burns down around us. So this is really today, more than ever, we need these women that basically know how to do home economics. And basically, you need a doctorate in home economics today, and they can do that. That's so important, self-sufficiency. Because self-sufficiency means what? Separation from the culture, from the corporation, from the state. And we need that more and more. We need to have more and more of a locus within the family. And that's what the whole point is. The family is now the locus. It has to be. Everything has to be ordered toward that family. And so we need to really get that message out there and encourage women to go to the heart of the home. Because if you don't have the woman in the heart of the home, you don't have a family.
And without families, now, Dr. G.C. Dilsaver, our regular Monday classroom now, we have two classrooms a week now. Three, we have Chivalry Fridays. Did you hear my Chivalry Friday bit?
I didn't hear it this week. But
okay, so my Chivalry Friday bit was on morals and manners. That, well, you're not going to have manners without morals. You got to have, and the two are linked. And the first place we learn manners is, and I know you'll appreciate this, I even said Dr. Dilsaver would agree with me, is in the home. That's the first place where you learn manners, is in the home. So, as Brother Francis tells us in Philosophia Perennis, which you can get at Catholicism.org, and I encourage everyone to take the course, all of you to take, not all of you will, but you will be, or hashtag life ruined on Twitter. But as Brother Francis says, you start with the basics, common sense, the person, the human. I have a soul. I am responsible for this soul. This body animates, or the soul animates this body. I am responsible to run this game, run this this race, and get this soul back to heaven. Now, if we expand that and you add a wife and children, now it's a family. The family does not have a soul. It has souls in it. So someone has to be responsible for those souls, and that's the father, correct?
Absolutely. The father, again, so we were talking about motherhood, and this is fatherhood, but and family. So this is how the segue between the incarnation and the family, of course, because the heart of the family is man and woman. But that fatherly role, of course, that's a huge role, and it's however, again, the state has made it illegal for the father to take responsibility up for his family. And that goes everywhere from the Second Amendment, all the way to the 19th Amendment and everything. It covers everything. Defending my family? Don't try to defend your family. You're going to end up in jail. Don't try to be the moral arbitrator. Don't try to be a patriarch, because you are on the criminal most wanted list. That is illegal in this country to be a patriarch. But going back to that as manners, and you said manners begins in the home, and that's right. And the essence of it, the very beginning of those manners is this. It's devotion. Devotion, of course, first and foremost to Almighty God,